Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 360 for Thursday, August the 8th. I don't even know what year it is anymore. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and storing important documents only on vintage discs. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Mad Men. What's up, Mad Men?
Nothing much. That actually might be secure. How many people have a floppy disk reader that could read the old actual floppy disks?
Oh, you mean like the 5 1/4? Those are still around. A lot of vintage guys still have those. Now the eight and a half inch floppy disks. Now those, you got to go to the military to get somebody to read those. Unfortunately, you get about half of a Word document on one.
Like, how many of them would it take to hold a copy of WoW?
All of them. It would take all of the ones that still exist. I was actually thinking of zip disks when I said that, because it's like, let's use a format that's known for failure.
Magnetic tape. We'll just store it next to a giant electromagnet.
Hold my homebrew and let me put my hair in a man bun. Fuck me, you hipster pricks.
Oh, no, I've got it. Get you an old reel-to-reel system, right? Make sure you've taken a few loops of electrical tape around one of the reels to fuck up the speed, so that you know how many times you have to wrap the tape. Then use like an old Atari that does the whole audio in and out, so you can save on a tape. That way, nobody can. It's not really encryption, but you can see it from there.
Hell, let's just get the old hammer and chisel out.
At that point, it's more like an escape room puzzle game than it is actually storing your documents securely.
We have to slow this tape down, sir.
Oh, Rats put in the IRC their pardon when I said, you know, known for failure. It's called the click of death. They were sued over it. Anyways. And I should probably finish the intro. RU is here.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well.
old things said and done, yeah.
Oh, come on. You have old media lying around somewhere.
Oh, dude, I have fucking old tech coming out my ass. And if it wasn't for my wife, I'd have a lot more. But when we moved the house from last time, dude, I had to get rid of everything. Everything but the good stuff.
Yeah, I've got a lot of it laying around, too.
So. Down to one XP machine and parts for it. That's it.
Oh, and you'll like consoles. Something I have in Dojo, then. So, we'll get to that. You'll get a kick out of it. But, I guess we'll get started here. First article I have from tonight is from ZDNet. This is actually in a couple of places, but... It's fairly short, but I thought the concept was worth discussing, because we're going to see this more and more. After last week expanding the Gmail Advanced Protection Program for high-risk G Suite users, Google is now bringing some anti-malware features of the program to Chrome. While the Gmail Advanced Protection Program requires that users employ a hardware security key like Google's Titan, the additional anti-malware protections for Chrome will require users to log in to Google's browser system called Sync. The company angered some Chrome users last year by rolling out an unannounced feature that automatically logged users into Chrome's account system if they are already signed into Gmail. Being logged into Chrome sends web browsing history to Google servers, allowing it to sync web history, passwords, and settings across multiple devices. Enabling Sync also automatically signs users into all Google services they visit, including YouTube and search. The new advanced protection offering appears to give users the choice of trading some privacy for extra security. Once logged in, Google says Chrome will automatically start receiving stronger protections against risky downloads across the web, like files containing malware. Well, the company argues that because advanced protection offers higher protections to Gmail users, attackers are shifting their strategies to threaten advanced protection users outside of their email with linked malware and drive-by downloads, where users unknowingly... they're just targeting everybody with that shit, man.
That's not really targeting as much as it's out there. Let's see who we catch.
Yeah.
The net doesn't target the tuna. It's targeting an area of water.
That's a good analogy, Madman. I like
analogy,
that one.
Great analogy, man. Yeah, I like that. Let's just go on keeping that one. That's a good one to explain
write that
shit
one down.
To normies.
Shit.
Yeah.
That one's downright insightful. company argues that because advanced protection... Oh, I already said that one. Chrome already has a bunch of built-in anti-malware features, including safe browsing, an ESET-powered malware cleanup feature, and in March it added new protections to block file downloads from within sandboxed iframes, cutting off a key technique used to automatically install malware computers from the web. Google says that advanced protection users will get an even stronger level of protection in Chrome. The next time Chrome with sync enabled runs into a potentially nasty executable on the web, users may see a message at the bottom of the corner of the browser saying that a file was blocked by advanced protection. The advanced protection program for G Suite was announced last week, blah, blah, blah. Admins can now nominate groups of high-risk users. Okay, so you can, you know, say a user is high risk. And so, you know, the idiot who keeps going, well, I have to whitelist all those emails. You know, you never know. I might get something real from them one day. Dude, we migrated an email system a few years ago, and there were users who had whitelisted every email they ever got. Every spam, every bullshit marketing, all of it in the whitelist. We asked them about it, and it really was, well, what if they send me something important? They're spammers. They're not going to send you something.
I've got to the point, if I see external on my email, I delete it.
Dude, if it doesn't come from Steam, I don't open it.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't have an email account for anything else.
It's getting to where I don't even answer my fucking cell phone because it's, even if it says it's actually Madman calling me, it's probably going to be somebody trying to sell me health insurance or you know, pretending to be the IRS and saying that they've got a warrant out for me.
Bring it.
Just because I want to get your information to verify it's you doesn't mean it's a scam.
I mean, the last time where you said, hey, this is Madman with Cardholder Services was kind of funny. I'll give you that. But, yeah, dude, the thing here is that they're going to only give you the advanced protection if you sign in so that Google gets your browsing history and all that. Now, from a technical standpoint, I can kind of understand where they're coming from. It's makes it easier for them to, if they're actually getting the browsing history, to compare the files that are coming in against their databases up in their servers. So that way you don't have to maintain the entire browsing history database or the entire malware database on the local machine. I get that. But
I'd be more worried about them sharing it with local law enforcement.
There you go. It's the whole... You only get this advanced feature if you're signed in. Now, I know some things have been, especially mobile apps and shit like that, have been doing this already. But I think you're going to start seeing this more and more to where if you're not signed in to your... I mean, fuck, Windows does this with Microsoft accounts. Whenever you set up a new Windows box, the first thing it's doing is trying to get you to set up a damned Microsoft account. So I guess we've been seeing this, but I think it's going to get a lot more prevalent because at least with Windows, you can still click past it and it doesn't disable the fucking operating system for not signing in. But I think that's where it's going to go. I think it's really going to be, oh, we see you're logged in with a local account. We've disabled your ability to set wallpapers and your screen is now locked at a resolution of 800 by 600 and we've disabled your sound card until you log in so we can ensure your safety. I mean, you know.
Hey, you know what? I can get used to a lot of shit. Yeah, just saying. You know what I mean?
And
there's a lot of inconvenience in this world, and I can live with a lot of inconvenience to stay anonymous.
Well, this is their giving you another service. So I think the way they're having you pay for it, instead of giving them cash, they're just selling you to marketers.
You have to think eventually that database is going to be so saturated that there won't be a market there anymore. They'll just have everyone in the databases.
It's that they're squeezing out other ad revenues. Have you looked up how much of the internet's ad revenues actually are Google?
I think it's 95%. It's a lot.
Yeah, 95%.
Is it 95%?
It's in the 90s.
Yeah, it's 90-something.
Oh, fuck.
That's one reason you see so many newspapers going broke or going behind paywalls. Those banner ads, those aren't their banner ads. That's all Google.
Yeah.
Now, Google may kick them a bit of it, but they're keeping most of it.
Well, I mean, hell.
That's one of the things that came up at the Senate hearing with them. And they're pressuring out everyone else just on their ad services.
Hey, man, they just provide a better service. That's all it is. If you're going to go with the whole free market capitalist thing.
Yeah, I'm with Cycros there. I don't think Google's at 95%. I could see them being in the high 70s, maybe even the 80s. But you do have Amazon, Facebook, and Microsoft all fighting with them, too.
Amazon's not making money off ads. They're still a store.
I thought they were running an ad network, though, weren't they? Well, Facebook and Microsoft certainly are.
Facebook is gathering your stuff and selling it as well.
So, yeah, I've got in the next story we're getting into that. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I was joking about Microsoft. So what do? Well, you install Linux and you learn to use only open source software. But that, you have a lot of people who will just put up with it. It's like, oh, I guess I have to do this so I can use my laptop. So they'll just do it. I mean, you kind of already see that on smartphones. And that's creepy as hell, too. I was on my phone earlier today because, you know, the Note 10 came out. And they were talking about the 3D scanning of it. And I'm like, okay, now I'm interested. So I went in on my phone and was just kind of looking. I was on my phone doing this, right? So that was the mistake. So I went in and started pricing out. Okay, well, you know, what would it be to upgrade to the 10? Oh, okay, yeah, I might do that. So, you know, I got all the way basically to the end and then just closed it because I hadn't quite made up my mind yet. But half an hour later, I get a text from Verizon. So, yes, I use Verizon as my cell phone service, I guess. Oh, no, I've told you one of the three I might be using. And, you know, me and, you know, however, half a billion other people. Yeah, I get a text from them saying, it looks like you were having a problem checking out. Go to any of our stores first. It's like, what the fuck? So because I was sitting there doing the whole pricing and the little app thing, trying to figure out, you know, on upgrading my account. And that one I expect to be signed into because it's also how I, you know, pay my phone bill. So it's like, the fuck? You know, they start spamming me saying, oh, no, you didn't finish. Come back. I mean, I don't know, man. What do you think?
I already told you about me being tracked by Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I mentioned that on the last one. That freaked me out.
How do you get tracked by Chick-fil-A?
I went to Chick-fil-A. I got a request to do a survey on my phone afterwards. And I paid cash. I'm like, how did Chick-fil-A track me? I left the Wi-Fi on my phone. Google was tracking me.
Rats in the IRC is asking how I feel about the Purism phones, laptops, and the PowerPC architecture stuff. I think the PowerPC stuff has a real future, but right now it's only enthusiasts. And if you've looked into getting any of that hardware, dude, fucking expensive. But I think there's something real there. Because the alternative is, I mean, the Intel processor, the Intel descended processor, you know, the x86 boards. Yeah, they're what everybody rocks right now for laptops and desktops, but you're seeing more and more ARM chips. Now, granted, it's on the low-end stuff. I do think you're going to start seeing a move away from the Intel architecture, the Intel-descended architecture, because AMD developed a lot of it, too, and Cyrix, now that I think about it. and Moss actually developed some of the shit that made its way in there. Anyways, I need to stop thinking about that kind of stuff. But, you know, the x86 descended platforms, they're ultimately, I think they're going to start getting phased out because they're just inefficient compared to like an ARM chip or the power chips. And I think you'll start seeing them go out because that'll, like for laptops and tablets, that'll be a big, big selling point. Oh, look, you know, with this chip, your battery lasts three times as long. And you actually see that now if you go look at the ARM Chromebooks versus a laptop. You see the batteries last way longer on those Chromebooks. And even the Windows ARM laptops that came out and then promptly flopped because there was no software for them. You know, the trick being that you do everything through the web browser. But, you know, of course, performance is kind of crap, so that doesn't help. But better battery life than Linux on most x86. I think that's where you're running into driver optimizations on the battery life better than Linux. And on a lot of laptops, you can play around with the TLP and some of the other services to tune it. But yeah, as installed, a lot of the Linuxes will suck a laptop battery dry. You got to go in and activate proper services and tune it so it can do that. But anyways, a little distracted there, but I am a little worried that you're going to start seeing these entire software ecosystems where they're basically not going to be usable if you don't let them track you. Because open source has always been kind of niche. I mean, yeah, you see more and more of it, but TINS, what, the painkiller thing? Static knows about that. I think he used to use one of them. The electroshock thing that, you know, for pain management.
Anyways. Oh, the TINS units?
Yeah. The NSA Live Linux. Oh, no, I haven't looked at that yet. And I will at some point, I'm sure. But I don't know. I'm a little worried that that's where it's going to go, where if you're not on a managed platform, you're not signed into your Microsoft and Google and Facebook accounts, that you just can't exist online. So
I can live with that.
Ever since they saw how much money Apple can make off of having their own little sandbox, everyone's been wanting to do it.
That's true. So
fuck it, man. I'll go back outside.
It's like, wow, 16-bit computers just got real expensive on eBay for some reason. I don't know what.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Oh, fuck it.
Well, you just won't be taking advantage of some of their security options. Don't be an idiot online.
That's with what we read for Chrome. I'm thinking it's just the machine won't be usable unless you're letting them track it.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
So pretty much you won't be able to watch YouTube unless you log into YouTube.
Yeah. So at that point, I just say, buy YouTube. You know what I mean?
YouTube has, I've got a Fire Stick, you know, Amazon Fire Stick that I used to use to watch YouTube quite a bit. It won't stay signed in, and whereas the desktop version doesn't care, the TV versions of it, yeah, it hassles you. Oh, you should log in. Hey, you should log in. And even the desktop version now keeps popping up. You know, you know it's better if you log in, right? So, I mean, it's just, I think that's where it's going, and I don't like it.
It lets you see more of their videos. If you aren't logged in, you're stuck in the age-restricted mode.
But that's my point, Madman, is I feel like I shouldn't have to set up a fucking username and password for every service I want to use. I ought to be able to just install a piece of software and go.
Well, at least on YouTube, kind of thank the FCC for having age restrictions.
You do know the FCC doesn't regulate the internet, right?
No, but yeah. A lot of the shows, since they're also broadcast, and YouTube's moving into actual television.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole thing where they're basically kicking their original creators on to the curb and going with they're going with
CNN
all the late night shows and shit like that.
Yeah.
What's the, I can't think of the guy's name. The guy who does the Slingshot channel, the German guy. He's actually tried to start a YouTubers union.
And that'll go well.
He's even got one of the German industrial unions partnered with him. So we'll see what comes out of that. It's just...
I wonder what percentage of the content creators he would need to get for YouTube to listen.
Considering that they're going to make most of the... So YouTube doesn't give a fuck about their content creators, whether they're CNN or Crowder or, you know, some chick in her bedroom showing makeup tutorials, right? They care about ad revenue. They care about how much money are they getting per click. They care, does this channel get the advertisers pissed off? They care, is this one causing people to close the browser and go away? There's a guy who does a 3D printing channel that I'm not particularly fond of because whereas when he's showing how to do something on the printers, he generally does a pretty good job. But when he starts talking about other people in the community, he basically talks smack and has a lot of gets a lot of shit just plain wrong. That, like, he has an entire video in open source that makes literally no sense for anybody who actually understands what open source is. And, but his technical videos aren't bad, so I still occasionally watch just to see if there's anything worth, you know, what he's doing there. And if it's going to be one of his rant videos, I'm like, turn this shit off. But, you know, he gets so much shit in his comments. He's like, yeah, go ahead, unsub. It's fine. Oh, by the way, if you pause my video while it's playing and then just close the browser and don't go back to YouTube for a while, that'll make sure the algorithm really doesn't show my channel to you. And I'm like, fuck, he's probably right. But he gets so much hate because he is kind of an idiot on a lot of topics that he's just accepted that people hate him. And he's giving advice as how to have his channel not show up in his comments. I love it. It's like, that's fantastic. But
well, it's better than you flagging him.
I'm not going to flag him. I just don't want
to
put up with
him. No, I'm saying maybe that's what he's doing. Like, hey, if you don't like my shit, here's a way not to see it. Just don't flag me.
Sure. Yeah. And there's valid reason not to like his shit, because when he starts talking smack, he's usually flat wrong. So it's like, okay, well. But... It's an odd combination, but I just thought that was really funny because apparently the algorithm, if you just close the browser and stop, don't go to YouTube again for a while, it views it as this pissed you off so much you didn't want to sit there and keep watching more ads, which is probably true. So
yeah,
I could see that one, but Rhett says not a bad idea of the union. I don't know, dude.
No.
It only works if they care enough about their content creators, but if you're not going to YouTube to watch stuff, it doesn't matter their ads. So do you think they've gotten big enough with YouTube Red that they're just free content creators don't matter anymore?
No.
I do know a lot of people that like the Karate Kid show. That's the only YouTube original I can think of, but
do you know a lot
of people like it.
See, I thought about subscribing to Red because I was at one, you know, they were saying, oh, you don't get ads on Red. And then I read a bunch of views that said, oh, no, you do, but the ads are all YouTube ads rather than the, I was like, well, that defeats the point. So I lost interest in it.
But I know people that they don't subscribe. Well, they subscribe long enough to watch the series they want to watch. And then they cancel it. And they don't subscribe again until the next season comes out.
Well, that's why DC Universe is trickling their shows out one at a time, is so that they don't have people do that. Because apparently they're not posting Young Justice very fast like they were before, and it's got a lot of people PO'd.
I think they have run up to, we're now able to post it when it comes in.
Oh, that could be. I don't know.
But they also have other things on that. If you're into comics, you can actually read a big chunk of their catalog online now. That's why I haven't canceled it yet, because I've gone through all their video content. Well, you've seen the collection of DVDs I had. I was buying their animated stuff just so they would keep making it. Like, it's not going to theaters. I want them to know that I like the job they're doing. So half the shit on there, I actually own hard copies of.
You just don't want them to stop. Fair enough, and that's certainly
that's fair enough, man. Yeah, like I pirate a lot of content, but when I get the opportunity of a show or a series I really like, I end up purchasing it.
But the only way the YouTube union would work is if they're still dependent on those people to bring them viewers. It's like Crowder might not be making money on YouTube, but YouTube still shows ads during his shit.
Never seen an ad on YouTube.
You use Adblock.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still pointing out the ads are there, even if they're not paying content creators.
Yeah, I don't think they care about the content creators. That's been pretty evident with the adpocalypse and, you know, the mass deletion of everyone that doesn't, you know, lockstep with their values.
Rats in the RC is saying buy CDs and DVDs because that way you don't lose permissions to them later if you lose the licenses like it happens with the streaming services. Actually, DVDs do have a license on it, and it's a string of numbers that is a lot of people were trying to make illegal to spread on the internet about 10 years ago. So that one actually could happen. I'd recommend ripping all of your stuff into a unencumbered file format and then maintaining backups of it somewhere, like, say, an extra USB hard drive of sufficient size that when you're not using it, you just unplug it and put it on the shelf so that
ban the DVDs I've purchased.
No, of course not. I'm just saying it could, because a lot of the newer players, especially the Blu-ray stuff, and a lot of people, they don't keep their old DVD player. They throw it away, get rid of it, take it to Goodwill when they buy a Blu-ray player, because, the Blu-ray will play the DVDs. But Blu-ray players will get updates either over the internet or, you know, through the smart systems or from discs. Like firmware players for discs come in on the movies. And I could see those disabling, you know what, this is an old feature, just for convenience, we're going to turn this off, and then suddenly your DVDs don't work anymore. My grandmother had a bunch of VHS tapes, and after her VHS player died, she had to go to Goodwill to find one that worked. So
my wife accidentally bricked my PS3 by renting a DVD. Yep. I had to actually connect it to the internet and download additional software before it would unbrick.
So I'm just saying if you're going to keep legacy, sort of like we were talking about at the opening of the show with the joke, if you're going to keep, you know, legacy discs around, have a couple of the things that play them and don't depend on newer players to play them. If you're using zip discs, maybe throw an extra drive in the closet somewhere that you know works. And you're probably going to need an old computer to go with it, because even though, if you hook a USB zip drive up to a Windows 10 machine, it'll work. For how long? Because I don't have the story, but the Linux kernel, currently the driver for floppy disks, is unmaintained. The guy who was running it said, I'm done with this, and nobody's picked it up. So theoretically, floppy disks on Linux might stop working at some point.
So, just kind of a guess, what would you think a price of a VHS player on Amazon would be?
I bet it's over $100.
I'm looking at one for $1,289.99.
Holy shit, my cupboard's worth a fortune.
Don't get me wrong, there's still some up here for reasonable prices, like $74.
You found somebody who's creating Amazon listings and stores to do money laundering. Gotcha. Although I'm totally stealing Rat's response. He put what in the tits? It's like, fuck, I'm stealing that. That's awesome. Oh, I can't use that at work, can I?
Probably not.
Yep. All right. Well, I think we've beaten that one to death. You guys want to move on to the next article?
Yes. What do we have next?
This is from MarketWatch. FBI plan for social media monitoring may clash with Facebook's privacy policy. Because apparently Facebook has a privacy policy.
Really?
Only when it comes to the FBI. The FBI just needs to wait until the next update to make everything fucking public again anyway.
What they always seem to do.
That's when you do the data scoop.
The FBI is looking for outside contractors to monitor social media for potential threats, setting up a potential conflict with Facebook and other companies over privacy. Last month, the FBI...
How do I get this job?
I would imagine this is going to be somewhere on the FBI's website. I'm sure you could just Google it. Last month, the FBI said it is soliciting proposals for a social media early alerting tool in order to identify possible threats. Okay, this, if you're a software house, shit like this is how you make bank. Okay? You watch their websites where they're soliciting for these kind of tools. You go write something that's passable, sell it to them for $500,000. I'm not even kidding. There are companies that make bank doing that. I know somebody who actually called me a couple of years ago wanting to know if I was interested to come work for him because he used to teach, and he turned his consultancy company into a Navy contractor.
Bam.
And, yeah, I moved to Florida and made a shit ton of money.
How to get be a millionaire in 3 easy steps.
Let's see. Last month, the FBI said it was soliciting proposals for social media early alerting tool to identify possible threats while making sure that privacy and civil liberty considerations are taken into account. Such a tool would likely violate Facebook's ban against using its data for surveillance. You would think the FBI and the Facebook would be able to come up to an agreement on that, you know?
If it's public, it doesn't matter what Facebook thinks.
That's also true.
They're looking at your Facebook posts. Oh, God, I don't want the FBI looking at my Facebook posts. You're fucked. Facebook is there for people to look at your damn posts.
I now imagine all potential school shooters sound like that.
I was trying to think if Madman changes his Audi to an Innie, he's going to have to work on the voice. That was not convincing.
Hey, don't even try to cop cotton ceiling me.
I still don't really know what that means.
Don't look it up. You knows and I can mess with his head.
Yeah, thanks for that.
The contract solicitation of the potential clash was first reported by the Wall Street Journal on Thursday. It was posted before the most recent mass shootings, once again prompted for calls for social media companies to do more to detect such threats. Facebook declined to comment. Twitter did not initially respond to a message for comment. So, actually, one of the other stories, basically the FBI is planning. They're trying to get monitoring tools on all the major social media platforms. And I think they should. I mean, I don't think that the companies ought to give them special access to go into people's private shit without a warrant. And preferably they would tell somebody that, yeah, we served a warrant against you. But if it's public... Like you were saying, Madman, it's public.
They don't already have a bot skimming Twitter for bomb shooting manifesto.
Well, but they got tired of reading your Twitter, so they probably turned it off.
Well, they should have whitelisted mine to be ignored. I haven't done anything yet.
Doesn't mean shit, man.
Yeah, but you're just posting links to books with those names in the titles as a troll.
They have to filter through the shit to find the diamonds. What can I say? But I can't believe they aren't already just skimming Twitter and
they are.
Facebook.
They are.
They're actually asking for software to make it more effective. So they've probably got an army of interns doing it right now, and that just doesn't work. So they're wanting to get some AI or a series of bots to do it instead.
God, imagine having to read some of those shit post Twitter fights, man. That'd be a terrible job.
I figured Twitter would be easy. It's already text-based, and you just do a word search on it.
Madman, have you forgotten how difficult it is to convey sarcasm in text?
So they're going to get a lot of false positives.
That's the problem, though. Since I do security work for a living... When you're monitoring stuff and you have a very high signal-to-noise ratio, actually, it'd be the other way around. You have a very high noise-to-signal ratio. that tool largely becomes useless and you stop paying attention to it.
But also, too, man, the late, like, I don't know if you guys have noticed in the last 3 to 4 years, the deliberate misspelling and renaming and recategorizing different ways of saying things just to get around these filters.
Well, you're going to have the same situation you had back during the Prohibition era, where they would have to provide translators for juries to understand that the language the mobsters was using all basically translated to killing a guy.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is that, okay, when you decide that everyone is speaking in code and you don't necessarily know that that code means to, you know, what you think it means, this is how you get, you know, well, you get a lot of the accusations of racism, right? Like what's going on now where, oh, he said infested, that's racist. Well, Trump doesn't exactly have a stellar reputation when it comes to his communication skills, but...
I just hope Donald Trump never says glow in the dark. See, you and I both know exactly what that means. But
he was right. He was right. Quick, get the operating system. It's the only way we'll be safe.
You know what I mean? Like, we get a laugh out of that. Anybody's just sitting there, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll use that language to my wife. She's like, I have no idea what you're fucking talking about. And I'm okay. I'll talk English.
For anyone in the IRC who's very confused, look up Temple OS and start from there. Keep digging. You'll eventually get to it.
Yeah. Terry Davis. May he rest.
Well, we know he's not resting in peace, so...
No, I know. That's
why
I said
why stopped.
May he rest. Because that chaotic motherfucker, even after death, is out there.
But, you know, once you've decided that something, you know, this is the thing. How do you go from people who are legitimately talking in code to where you've just decided people are talking in code so that you can reinterpret everything they say as something bad? And, you know, you can no longer have a, you know, productive conversation with that person. So I don't, there's a line there, but maybe I'm extrapolating a step too far for this story. I'm not sure.
You may be extrapolating a step too far because... If you look at something that's in code, when you translate it to what the code means, it makes sense. If you're just randomly applying the code to someone, it doesn't make sense with what they're saying.
Yeah, but who is the arbiter of the translation of what you're saying? Because when I say 6 gorillion, there are 3 different ways to interpret that. And in the way it's said. Yeah, who's the gatekeeper to the knowledge of what it means? To me, glow in the dark means so many different things.
Yet it means a child's toy from the 80s, but, you know.
Boy,
that's a night bright. You glow in the dark just refers to things that glow in the dark.
Dark,
if you're
exactly.
Going to toys in the 80s.
That's what I mean. Who's the arbiter of what the code is?
Oh, dude, when I was in, you just reminded me thinking about the glowworm thing you were talking about, Madman. You just reminded me when I was in a daycare center, the counselors running it, how long ago this was. Well, that toy was new, so that tells you how long ago this was. And we were all, me and several other people I knew were dumb enough to fall for this. Somebody had one of those, and every time they squeezed it, the lights in the room went out. And we spent a long time trying to figure out how the fuck that doll was turning out the lights.
Couldn't have been.
No, one of the counselors was playing a prank. They were watching for when somebody squeezed it and flipped the lights off.
Ah, cool. Cool.
And we were
going to say, there's no way that...
Right? That's what I was doing. I'm like, how the fuck is that thing turning the lights off?
Yeah, there's no... Like, today, you just accept it. Like, there's no magical wizard inside the glowing worm. But back then, yes, there was wizardry afoot.
Well, I'm sitting there going... I remember specifically thinking, this is like those cartoons where it's putting out some kind of an energy field. And, you know...
Jumping to the craziest conclusion.
Because I've been watching Voltron. <It's> like, and, you know, But, you know, that's what, and we are way off topic. Wouldn't it be nice to be that, you know, innocent again so you believe shit like that?
Oh, hell yes, man.
Nah, I'm going to keep my jaded realism.
Oh, I wouldn't trade my darkness for the light, dude. I'd rather see what's behind the curtain than believe the magic show.
I wish I had a switch you could flip it on and off.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's a headset, and listening to anything that's rational and just walking around in public and just play the clown theme song in your head. You know what I mean? It really feels like a modern day circus.
Yeah. Watch
yeah,
really good
I'd
magicians.
Yeah, I'd go that really good yeah. magicians. Fool Us. I like Penn and Teller's Fool Us. They have some really good people in there sometimes.
Dude, I love that show because it's one of the only magic shows I've ever seen where I'm sitting there going, what the fuck? The fuck did you do that, magic man? Like, especially some of the card tricks. Mentalism's easy to figure out. They're not even magicians. I wish they wouldn't have mentalists on that show.
And now they're recommending drugs that I can use to... I don't think burning myself out on drugs is what I had in mind, guys. I was just being nostalgic for a simpler time.
If you could maintain a regular ecstasy supply for me, I will quite happily Swiss cheese my brain for the next 10 years. That would be the only drug I'd want to do constantly.
I don't know. I've been told GHB is the bomb.
Don't know, man. Never tried it, so...
Anyways, next article is from TechSpot. iFixit says Apple's new iPhones have a software lock to prevent third-party battery replacements. Which, you know, I've been following the whole right to repair stuff because I tend to agree with it that you... All once right. you own a piece of hardware, it's yours.
That's fucked up. You know the smartphone you've been laughing at me because I didn't upgrade it until like now.
The I wasn't laughing at you about it. I was more just amazed that you were living on it.
The whole reason I could still live on that thing is I bought a battery to replace the one that was swelling inside of it.
The muggers feel sorry for me and give me their phones.
Where's your phone? I don't have a phone. The fuck you don't have a phone?
I just can't afford one and you're robbing me. Fuck you.
shit, dude.
Yeah,
here's a sandwich card.
I drive a nail through it to deflate it, but then I didn't because I didn't want to die.
Oh, you
dude,
wouldn't have died.
Paid to see that.
You would have gotten a hell of a burn on your hand, though.
Yeah. Burning out quick, first and second.
Let's see. Why it matters. You now have a lot more official places to go and repair your Apple products, but many people still depend on third-party repair shops to take care of their devices. They moved to label these repairs as not genuine in iOS could be a stepping stone to locking people out of their devices in the future. Just like it happened when people first tried to repair the Touch ID on their phones. Furthermore, it could serve to build consumer distrust for such repairs, which would also help Apple's cause in fighting repair regulation. Apple knows it doesn't have enough genius bars to support every one of its customers, which is why it has been expanding its partnerships with places like Best Buy to offer authorized repairs for people who live too far away from Apple stores. On the other hand, it has a financial incentive to refuse to sell parts to independent repair shops and keep its service fees high. In a new report from iFixit, it says that the Cupertino giant has activated a dormant software lock that essentially prevents third-party battery replacements for the newest models of iPhone. While it doesn't stop you from taking a brand new battery and dropping it into your device, the settings app in iOS 12 and 13 will display a service status for it, which is typically indicative that your battery is worn out and needs to be replaced. Installing a battery from another iPhone appears to have the same result. No access to any battery health information, and the message is that your battery couldn't be verified as genuine. This has led iFixit to speculate that Apple may have intentionally designed this as a way of showing the middle finger to independent repair shops.
Of course they did. Apple don't do anything without a purpose.
Let's see. Naturally, someone investigated the issue more closely and found that Apple is using a Texas Instruments microcontroller that holds a unique authentication key for every battery that links it to the iPhone XS, XR, or XS Max where it is installed. So they're tagging the fucking battery to the phone when they manufacture it. The only two ways around that are to either go to an official Apple repair shop or to do some careful micro welding to transplant the... Okay, it's a soldering iron, guy. It's, I don't know that you need to call it micro welding. I mean,
micro welding, that's...
It's a soldering iron. Actually, in this case, it's probably a hot air rework station, but anyways...
Like micro welding.
No, micro welding is cooler.
Yeah, I'm adding that to the lexicon.
All right. I was thinking that's what I did when I used a 3D pen to weld two plastic parts together, but okay, because that's not really welding, but it kind of, you can see it from there, maybe? It was to transplant the protection circuitry to the new battery, even if it's an original Apple from another device. Apple may argue the software lock is there for safety reasons, since we know that lithium batteries have a tendency to catch fire when not handled correctly. However, iFixit believes that this sets a dangerous precedent and drew comparison between Apple's implementation and the Check oil light that can only be reset at a Ford dealership, even if you manage to change the oil by yourself. Now, on another note, I have a Ford vehicle, and I have figured out how to reset that light yourself. There's a trick to it. You'd put the car not in park and start it so that it complains at you and doesn't start the engine while holding both the gas and the brake at the same time. I'm wondering how many other Street Fighter-like codes are hidden in these cars for their computers, but that's off point.
You figure that out for yourself?
I did not, actually. I got my oil changed the other day, and the technician told me how to reset it because I was still sitting in the car because it was one of those quick change lanes.
Oh, okay, cool. I was going to say, if you figured that out yourself on your own car, that's fucking impressive, dude.
No, God, I'm not claiming that. Although I did ask him if he knew of any other Street Fighter-style codes for the vehicle, and he said no. So, but apparently that's probably a common thing.
He's probably a specialist in quick change oil. That's it. Knows enough to get out of trouble and... But you probably think he knows codes for every vehicle, make and model.
It's probably common across many, like, it's probably the same for, like, a lot across the maker.
Yeah.
So.
I think across the maker, because mine wasn't anything to do with the brakes or gas pedal. I had to put the ignition into aux and then hold down the trip odometer button.
What model have you got?
Honda Accord.
Okay.
You got a new head unit put in that thing, right?
I got a new stereo system in it, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't they have to put that box in there, though, for the factory one that was fucked up?
Yes. The replacement is about... and half an inch larger than the factory one. So one of the compartments that you can just toss shit in now doesn't open in my car.
Okay.
Initially, they were going to put a box in when they thought I was buying the crappy head unit. That there would have been a huge opening in my car in the dashboard. And then... crappy controls in a box. I'm like, I don't want that.
I thought you had the problem where, you know, like the same problem I would have where if I tried to switch out the head unit, it, you know, is hooked into a bunch of other shit. Like,
I had to buy an adapter for the air conditioning unit.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Because, like, I remember my sister had a Pontiac and she had that problem. So they put the old head unit in the trunk, but they didn't install it correctly. So it was basically it never turned itself off.
So drained the battery.
Drained the battery within a week of her getting the new head unit installed, so they had to figure that out. So
now, one thing I found weird, You know how those old units pretty much just had a DVD drive in the trunk?
Yeah, pretty
running
much.
A disc. I still have that DVD drive in the disc in my trunk.
Let's see. On a more positive note, a battery replacement will keep your device powered up, but you won't be able to know when it needs replacing or if it's still able to provide peak performance. And you'll be forced to use a third-party battery health out like Coconut Battery to get around the limitations. This likely won't bode well with customers, as Apple already has a history of being less than transparent with a number of issues that have plagued its devices over the years. Many are likely familiar with the battery debacle where the company throttled old iPhones to supposedly keep them from shutting down, or the famous Error 53 that greeted users who replaced their phone display. So, and then it goes into the right to repair legislation. So, but, yeah, man. It's, they're going to get more and more draconian, and it's like, oh no, you don't own your device.
You're renting it. Well, can you lower the rental price?
To be fair, if I upgrade my phone, I am going to be trading in my other one on it, so I guess it is kind of a rental in that way.
No, you're selling yours at a discount. You don't have to trade it in there. You could have thrown it on eBay for more money if you could find a better buyer.
That's true. That is true. In fact, when I go in and look at it again, I may see what the pricing is if I keep my old device.
Oh, yeah, and then just sell it?
Or just keep it.
Or keep it for a backup?
A backup, or, you know, I can think of a few other uses.
You can make a little thing that farts and shoots glitter at people that steal your packages.
I could. I was actually thinking of, like, you know, where you, the thing where you, you know, gun tape it to the bottom of a drone and then land it on a building roof and, you know, hack into their Wi-Fi. But, you know, we could do that too.
Yeah, whatever fun things. Fart machine, remote hacking. Well, in that case, you can just mail it to somebody.
Yeah, people do that, actually. Because it ends up in the mailroom to a fictitious person. Nobody knows who it is and ends up sitting there for a while. And as long as the battery's holding up, yeah, there's the Raspberry or something in there running, getting on the Wi-Fi and doing naughty things.
Or turn it into lost and found at that company. Hi, I found this phone when I was in your crapper.
Wasn't that a plot point in one of the Batman things where they left a phone in the lost and found?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, it was the one with the Joker in it.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, next article. This one is from Pentest Partners. We've seen some pretty poor security in dating apps over recent years. Breaches of personal data, leaking users' locations, and more. But this one really takes the biscuit. Probably the worst security for any dating app this company has seen. And it's being used to arrange threesomes. It's Three Fun. I love the name. Three Fun. It exposes the near real-time location of any user at work, at home, on the move, wherever. It exposes users' dates of birth, sexual preferences, and chat data. It exposes users' private pictures, even if privacy is set.
Hey, baby, I was looking through your profile. I know you don't know me, but I noticed you're legal and hot. Do you want to hook up?
Three Fun claims 1,500,000 users, quoting the top cities as New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, San Antonio, San Diego, Philadelphia, Dallas, San Jose, San Francisco, Las Vegas, and Washington, D.C. And this is where it gets funny. Several dating apps, including Grindr, have used user location or have had user location disclosure issues before through what is known as trilateration. This is where one takes advantage of the distance from me feature in an app and fools it by spoofing your GPS position and looking at the distances from the user. They're using GPS spoofing to recreate radio triangulation. That's kind of awesome.
I'm not mad.
That's kind of awesome. Because you can totally put an Android phone in debug mode and feed it whatever GPS location you want. So, yeah, you would just have to start positioning it around, you know, whatever GPS position. Well, because the app says it's, you know, your X amount of miles or X, you know, amount of yards, whatever, from the other person. So you just go into the GPS spoofing and move to another position. And now you have two ranges. You find the overlap, just guess at what the best third position is, put yourself there with the GPS location. I'm explaining because Rats was asking in the IRC. And then now you can triangulate a pretty good approximation of about where that person actually is. And there's software algorithms for doing that. So you could automate all this and just sit there and get good approximate GPS location for anybody where the app is saying how far you are from another user. But which I think is technically awesome.
And with the triangulation, the feet that you're off isn't bad math. It's that the GPS said you were at, I don't know, 3520, and you're actually at 3521. It's that the GPS was off.
Yeah, it's just that the radio is not accurate enough. But even so, if you're off by, I mean, I guess in an apartment building you might have an issue, but generally you might have the wrong house. So, anyways, but this one's worse. Rather than doing that, it just flat out leaks the location. It has the GPS latitude and longitude in the match users. So, 3Fun is different. It just leaks your position to the mobile app. It's a whole order of magnitude less secure. And then they've got the Wireshark packet showing where just the raw location data is right there in the plain text communication. Yeah, the latitude of the longitude of the user is disclosed. No need for trilateration. Now, the user can restrict the spending of the lat longs so as not to give away their position, but that data is only filtered in the mobile app itself, not on the server. It's just hidden in the mobile app interface if the privacy flag is set. But the filtering is client-side, so the API can still be queried for the... Fuck! So even though they've got the privacy flag set, the server will still gladly tell you their location. And they filtered it down, you know, so they've got some pictures here of the maps where they're zooming in, and including one in the White House. They found somebody who works on the White House with this app, with the threesome app. And there's a few more near 10 Downing Street in London. And they were able to find the S3 bucket for 3Fun to get the photos of some of these users. Now they've got it blurred, but yeah, they've got the photos from 3Fun, the threesome hookup app of people who work in the government. Fuck. Awesome. Totally useless, but awesome.
You gotta get your jolly somehow.
Well, I mean, on one hand, it's like, okay, well, you know, there's no reason to kink shame them for being into threesomes. I mean, if that's what you want, right? But at the same time, it's probably not great to advertise that if you're, you know, in the fucking White House.
Hey, if any president's gonna overlook it,
that's true.
Like, don't worry, Mr. Donald. I grabbed your right.
Right in the... No, wait, that's the news guy who yells that, isn't it?
No. It's a quote from the Donald.
Yeah. No, he said grab him by the pussy, but I thought the right in the pussy was the news guy, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. The right in. That's just because he was misquoting. And this is an app you could. This is.
Yeah, it's an app. I don't have my phone next to me. I think it's downstairs, but we could search it and see. Why, you wanting to set up a profile, Madman?
No, I'm good. Yep, very good. I don't think there's a lot to discuss with this one.
There's not. It's just fucking funny.
It was just there.
Well, I also really enjoyed the concept of using GPS spoofing to do the triangulation thing. That was cool. It's like the actual story itself, okay, man, but the math and the concept of using the GPS spoofing to triangulate and find people's locations, I thought that was pretty cool. So
I think it's kind of a bad setup to have the filtering done by my phone rather than the server. It's going to go through a server, have the server do the filtering.
Right? Well, I mean, that's what you run into with routers that use JavaScript to keep you out of the admin functions and, you know, websites that do it too. Everything cool, are you?
Yeah, just a bin. We had high winds at the moment.
Gotcha.
One of my half-filled bins down the side of the house, a bit of a wind corridor. That picked it all up. We are good to go.
Cool. So
sitting here and fucking smash. I'm like, oh, shit.
Well, since we're already in the gutter, Facebook, Google, and Oracle Cloud are tracking the porn you watch in private. Tech giants Facebook, Google, and Oracle Cloud are secretly monitoring and tracking the porn you feel you're watching in private. New joint study funded by Microsoft shows. Research from Carnegie Mellon and the University of Pennsylvania said that they investigated 22,484 sex sites using a handy tool called Web X-Ray, which exposes tracking tools funneling data back to third parties. Our results indicate tracking is endemic on pornography websites. 93% of pages leak user data to a third party, the study reveals. Revelations about such data represent specific threats to personal safety and autonomy in any society that polices gender and sexuality.
Okay. Wait, what?
Yeah, I don't know why they went there. They're saying because people could be embarrassed by...
You know, if you're watching gay porn in the Middle East, they might throw you off a building.
Fair point. The study found out that Google and its various outlets had trackers on 74% of the web's top online orgasm destinations. Really, dude?
You picked the story, dude.
I did.
You gotta read the language.
I skim these things usually because I want to get that natural reaction.
Yeah. But yeah. Then you have to actually say those words out loud, realizing that it's going to cost you next confessional.
The web's top online orgasm destinations, Oracle had 24% and Facebook had 10%. Yeah, but it is kind of creepy. You'd have to repeat these things in front of your pastor, right? So
exactly. But I'm watching it for the plot.
No. Does she get the plumbing fixed? I want to know.
Is the pH balanced in that pool or not? God damn it.
It was, and then they got their cookies, and it was off again.
Did she figure out how to pay for the pizza? I mean, we have to figure this out.
The correct change with tip?
Oh, Rats apparently beat me to it in the IRC, and I just now saw the same joke.
Oh, yeah, he definitely tipped her and then gave her everything else.
Oh, I'm glad we all watched the same sort of porn.
No, I'm not going to crack out any weird shit on you guys. I mean, I need you to respect me in the morning.
That means I'd have to respect you at night, madman, and that's just not going to happen.
Did the farmer ever find his sheep? Oh, God, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it was in the harness hanging from the ceiling.
What?
Okay, now, I'm going to have to explain some things to you guys, because apparently you've never tried to fuck sheep. They don't like that. So what you do is prevent them from running away while your boxers are around your ankles. You put them in a harness. You then raise them up to the level of the hayloft, but you don't put them in the hayloft. You leave them about a foot off of it so that their feet are running in the middle air. Then you climb into the hayloft so that you have traction. You fuck the sheep in the air.
See, this is why kids aren't having sex today, madman. It's just too much fucking work.
No, that's why they're not having sex with sheep.
Oh, Barbara.
You guys never decide to solve strange problems at work.
And if you think you're being smart by browsing through incognito mode, well, you've got it wrong. Even when such browsing sessions aren't stored in your browser history, the data is still transferred to these third parties. The researchers, Elena Mars of Microsoft, Timothy Lambert of Carnegie Mellon, and Jennifer Heinrichsen of UPenn illustrate how these tracking cookies work on a hypothetical porn peeper named Jack.
Really? So they got the office intern. Look, Jack. I know it's first week and all, and the job description doesn't really fall under this, but we're gonna get you to watch hardcore pornography for the next 6 months, just so we can track your data.
Madman, we're gonna need a cleanup on aisle six. Jack has been here.
Oh God, I hated hearing that, Paige. Luckily, it wasn't at my store.
Dude, imagine explaining to your tax agent why you're trying to write off $1,000 worth of fucking tissues and lube. It's a work expense.
Well, if it truly is a work expense, you're working in porn and you're just like, yep, it's porn. It's like, nope, I'm the camera guy. I don't get to touch the girls.
What do you do for a living? I work at Google. What's with all the lube and tissues? It's Google.
The site's Jack visits, as well as the third party. It's fucked up. These sites Jack visits, as well as the third-party trackers, may observe and record his online actions. The study reveals these third-party sites may even infer Jack's sexual interests from the URLs of the sites he visits. They might even be able to use what they have decided about these interests for marketing or building a consumer profile. Yes, this means they may even sell the data. The fact that this mechanism for adult site tracking is so similar to, say, online retail should be a huge red flag. In addition, Maris and her co-researchers discovered that only 17% of porn sites were encrypted. This leaves a lot of opportunities for what they refer to as widespread data leakage and sextortion.
You can only be extorted if you're embarrassed. Own up to it.
You just stare them right in the eye and show them why they call you Jack.
No.
Dude, I'm serious, man. If you can be extorted from the pornography you're watching, you need to consider whether your fucking life is appropriate.
It's like you might be watching the wrong porn.
Yeah, you might want to tell Jack's
stepsister about Jack's affinity for step fan. Okay, Cycross, if you say so.
That shit weirds me out, man. I don't get how that's a category.
It is, though.
I know, man, but I'm like, who fucking actively looks for shit like that? Like,
I don't know.
You'd be seriously reassessing your fucking life if that's the shit that, yeah.
I wonder if it's just they ran out of ideas for shitty plots, and so they just like, well, what about this?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, not a big fan of the old pornography, but the categories are just a little funky. Like, you'd actually click on that category with your dick in your hand. I'm like, yeah, no.
Well, let's move on to something less in the gutter. I mean, granted, I suppose anything could be in the gutter, but none's got
probably
old,
a category too.
Tokyo offers $1 billion research grant for human augmentation and cyborg technology. The Japanese government is offering researchers up to $1 billion to develop ambitious human augmentation and cyborg technologies. As reported by the Nikkei Asian Review, the government will soon invite researchers and academics to submit proposals in 25 areas, ranging from technologies which can support our aging bodies to environmental solutions that tackle industrial waste. An unnamed government source told the publication that 100 billion yen, or $921 million, has been set aside to fund these projects for the first 5 years of a decades-long agreement. While some of the projects, such as cyborg technologies, might appear whimsical, others are heavily grounded in problems that Japan faces. Industrial waste, an aging population, and the challenge of cleaning up our oceans have influenced some of the project areas on offer. Japan is facing a looming issue. Fewer citizens are having children, and growth has reduced to Wow, their growth is at negative 0.27%. That's yeah, they're way below replacement. This may herald a future labor shortage and so technology, which can keep individuals in work longer or replace human staff altogether, may buffer the declining birth rate and keep industry going. Nikkei says, for example, that the research grant will go towards a cyborg technology that can replace human bodily functions using robotics or living organisms by 2050. Japan's interest in artificial hibernation touches upon this area, too. A notion based on animal hibernation practices that could keep our bodies in stasis and potentially promote longevity. The government is also particularly interested in automation technologies suitable for agriculture, forestry, construction, fishery applications, as well as proposals which will further Japan's goal of recycling waste from industrial applications. Researchers from Japan and abroad are encouraged to compile proposals for the moonshot projects and will be able to apply for funding next year. Deadlines for the completion of projects range from 2025 to 2060.
Long-term thinkers.
Pretty cool, but I think they may need to divert some of that money into finding out why the Japanese aren't breeding.
Cultural.
And fix that.
Well, it's all the fixation on the anime and the tentacles.
It's the work schedules too, like they, because they've never really transitioned out of that feudal idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a very. I don't know much about Japanese culture, to be honest, but I think it has to do with a lot of that the work life balance. Is not exactly conducive.
Well, don't they have a pretty severe population disparity between men and women as well? Like, there's just not that many girls.
No, that's China.
That's China. Okay,
is it China?
The one child policy in China. Japan never decided to off half their population.
I know that a lot of Chinese men are now going to Africa to get wives.
So
That's how they're fixing that problem.
Didn't see that coming.
I did, man, when they started building that fucking Silk Road Highway.
Oh, one market, one road, or one belt, or whatever.
Yeah, that runs from China all the way through, down through Africa.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of documentaries about that and that road system, things like that. And the actual Chinese, young male Chinese population that aren't into working in the cities and stuff like that, who want construction. They're making homes in Africa, man, with African women. It's actually starting to cause some cultural issues amongst the African men.
I figured it'd cause some cultural issues among Chinese. They're very ethnocentric.
Doesn't China own something like 25% of the African continent at this point?
I have no idea.
They bought a huge amount of it.
They own. They've got a 100-year lease on parts of Australia. And they've got an airport big enough to land military aircraft. And they own a seaport big enough to refuel military ships.
Well, that's not concerning at all.
No, but, you know, our government doesn't seem to be an issue with it.
Well, that would be racist, you see.
Well, we're trying to jerk off two world powers at once. It's not working. We've got to either pick America or pick China. I'm a big pro-America. I know we're going to get fucked a bit harder on our trade, but I'd rather go with the people that have this thing called liberty.
We'll be nice enough to give you a reach around every so often.
Yeah. Like I was pretty happy with the whole 80s, 90s America-Australia trade thing, but...
Yeah, we're not going to require you to learn a new language either. Well, mostly.
Yeah.
Like when we did that IHN intro, I still have no idea what any of that meant.
Yeah, I think of it as two ways. I like the Chinese for the fact that they come in and they go, we're doing this, we're building that, and that's how it'll be for the next 100 years. And we'll fucking maintain it, do that, and give you X money. Where we deal with, say, other countries, they go, well, we're going to build that, but we've got environmental concerns, and then we got, all these different concerns. So it's going to take about 30, 40 years before the project gets off the ground, and then it won't be viable. Do you sort of see... I like the Chinese for their just get in, get it done.
Yeah.
Fucking anyway. But I'm not really down with the whole authoritarian thing. It's never really worked for me through my life. Being told what to do doesn't work. So, I don't know, man. The whole who's going to win out in the long run, it's a hard call. But with the Japanese, I hope they don't go extinct or anything, but I love their idea of, you know what, this is a Japanese problem. Japanese are going to solve it. Let's fucking put our heads together. Let's start working through this. And instead of going, you know what, we made a real big fuck up during the 80s and 90s. You know, we just open the borders up and bring in people to look after us, you know, because we've given up as a people.
Well, I mean, that's what Europe's basically done.
I don't know, man. You can't say these sort of things anymore because it's called nationalism, and being pride and taking pride in one's nation's achievements is apparently a bad thing now. But,
well,
I don't know, man. It's a hard call. I do like the idea of just get in, get it done, though. Right.
All right, let's move on to this. Got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a project called Red Viper. It is a proof of concept control framework that uses Reddit for command and control.
Dear God, save us.
Well, I know.
Wait, Reddit for command and control.
Reddit, yeah. And I know a lot of companies don't block Reddit because people use it to get like news articles and tutorials and shit like that. So, but
Reddit also has a lot of pornography.
Yeah. But I'm
assuming
this
thing has a lot of everything depending on what subreddit you're looking at.
So I'm assuming what this thing is doing is that they're setting up a private sub for whatever channel and just posting things, and then, you know, but they've got guides in here that you have to set up a master account and zombie accounts, and then, you know, they've got, you know, all the recordings of how to do it and all this stuff. It's all proof of concept, but still. You know, I could see this being a very, very successful method for doing a command and control server. This guy's doing it to show that it's possible, but and I don't think it's just going to be Reddit. I mean, you could see sites like Pastebin or other sites like that. Again, you know, any site where you can post and retrieve information you could potentially use as command and control. It's just how much work is it to do it, so... Rat says, I feel like the frequency would be easy to catch. Sir, you're assuming people are reading their logs. And I can guarantee you, not nearly as many places do as you think.
And Morps has been a bit laxed in the last 7 days.
Don't even really want to go there.
No, 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 no.
Use Facebook to hack shit.
I'm talking about your own private stuff, dude. I'll tell you after the show.
Oh, okay. So, anyways, then the final thing I have is I realized I should dig through archive.org more often. I have found the entire OS2 Warp version 4 installation set and some software CD-ROMs on archive. So, we're posting the link to the OS2 Warp operating system. So, if you have some older machines that you're looking for an OS that's not Windows, here you go. You know, playing around with old school legacy stuff, right? Rat says, what is Warp? Oh, my. So, a little history. After, well, around the time of Windows 98, IBM and Microsoft had a lot of agreements because Microsoft was supplying the DOS for the IBM machines early on. And IBM, of course, had their own DOS, but it was expensive, especially compared to Microsoft DOS. So they were both developing competing operating systems for the IBM-compatible market, with Microsoft making DOS and ultimately Windows, and IBM making IBM DOS and then OS2. And the idea was that IBM wanted to make... They actually had compatibility layers, so you could run Windows software in OS2. But at one point around the development of Windows NT 4, IBM and Microsoft had traded projects. They had agreements with each other to try to get these things compatible and all that. So basically, IBM's engineers wrote the NT4 kernel, and Microsoft's engineers wrote a lot of OS2 Warp. I'm not aware of an ARM-friendly port of it. They're asking if you could run it on a Raspberry. You might be able to do it with I can't think of the emulator's name now. But if you could set up a PC emulation on the Raspberry, you might be able to get it to run. Not KVM. QEMU. You set up QEMU, you could potentially get it to run. But it might run on DOSBox. I don't know if DOSBox is... I don't know if IBM's DOS is compatible enough with what DOSBox runs to get it to run, but maybe. But anyways, it's some legacy software. It's kind of fun. You know, an alternative of what might have been in the 90s if Microsoft hadn't won out. And, you know, just interesting to dig through. So... That's all I really have. I know Matt. I doubt anybody else has anything to say on OS2 Warp.
I mean, Madman, I can play Star Trek Armada on it.
Could you?
Yeah, it's compatible with Windows 98 programs, right?
Some of them. It's more.
Okay,
it's
then I
more
might be able to.
It's more Windows 3.1. And Cycross is asking, did it turn Ecom Station? The answer is yes. And in some instances, it still runs ATMs to this day. But yeah, Ecom Station bought it. But I know a lot of companies that used it back in the day. Because they bought IBM servers, so they would end up with licenses for it, so they would use it for their workstations. But you can do around on archive.org and find all kinds of stuff for OS2. So I imagine there must be some community that's just having a ball running this stuff. And I've lately been getting into digging through some of this old stuff, like especially Amiga stuff, because I kind of missed that. So, you know, pulling down some of these archives of old magazine CDs and the demos and shit like that, it's like, man, I really missed out. So, because I went straight from a Commodore 64 to DOS, but for, you know, 486. But anyways, I don't know. Does anybody have anything? Are we ready to close it out?
I think you can close her down.
Yeah.
We're at 82 minutes. We kind of went over. Madman, closing thoughts.
I have nothing.
Are you?
Maybe on the air this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we playing on IHN this weekend?
I'm pulling stories as we speak.
Excellent. So, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, IHN this every Saturday, approximately the same time. In the IRC tonight, we had myself, Sardonyx, Cycros, Her Rats, Iron Angel, and Madman. That's all I got. I'm going to start hitting buttons on the soundboard.
Shut up, Wesley.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
The hell? Why is that so quiet?
I have no idea.